Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Tuning into the First Word. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Sunday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank everyone for tuning in. I know we had incredible weather on yesterday, and we just pray that everyone made it through. And we're going to get ready to get into the Word and open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege and another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed of rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, today we'll be studying from the 28th chapter of the book of Proverbs, And during our study with men, one of the things that we do is we try to cover the areas that will give us wisdom to go along with the knowledge that we obtain, so we can be the men that God has called us to be, whether it's in our church or our home or in our community. And we find that in the Word of God. And so every Sunday, that's why we go to the Word of God in the book of Proverbs to glean some wisdom that God has in his Word, that we might be able to live as godly men who are wise in our communities and our family and our churches and our community. The 28th chapter, beginning at verse 1, 1 through 10, it deals with the relationship to the law and how important it is for godly people to understand the importance of going by God's law. And that's one of the things that the book of Proverbs does. It gives you an example and a kind of contrast of what being wise is compared to what being foolish is. And I think that's very important with men, because we're more mechanical minded. In other words, we understand greatly how things work. And if we can get a mechanics to it, how if this turns, then this will happen, or if this happens, then turn this. We are more of a mechanical, and if we could couple our faith with this mechanical mind that we have, then we can greatly prosper in the areas of our families and our churches and our homes. And so let's look at this in the book of Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. It says, "The wicked flee with no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." So in other words, we get to this place where, you know, if you're on the run, if you're not doing things that are pleasing God, then what happens is you're always on the run. You're always looking over your back. I know many fellows when we grew up got into the drug trade. They were street pharmaceuticalists, if you will. And in their pursuit to gain wealth, they would do things that were not according to the law. And they were always looking over their back, looking over their shoulder to see if someone was going to catch them breaking the law. And so they were always on the run, always, you know, wondering who they're dealing with, whether they're undercover police or if there was somebody that, you know, put a stakeout on them, and if someone was turning them in. And so they never had any rest. They were always in this position of unrest, because they weren't doing what was according to the law. So this is one of the things that you know, when you look at the Word of God, if you abide by the law and do the things according to the Word of God, then you won't have this thing of a fear of someone's going to catch me not doing what's right. And, you know, this is so true today that so many people that endeavor in the things that are not correct, always looking over their back, always trying to see if somebody's going to catch them. But if you look at the contrast to this, you said, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So when you're right, you're right. You can stand on the truth. You can stand and say, hey, you know, I don't have to run. I can have peace of mind that I'm doing what's right. Sort of like when you're driving down the highway. I know many of us have experienced this. When the speed limit is 65, and, you know, you're doing, you know, 85, you're constantly looking over your shoulder, looking around the corner to see if the state police or the county police or the local district police is around, because you realize that you're breaking the law. But if speed limit 65 and you're doing 65, you know that, yeah, you can, you know, drive boldly with confidence and not have to worry or fear that anyone's going to pull you over for breaking the law. And it's just so wise that the Bible teaches us these things. It's like when you're doing what's right, you don't have to worry about someone catching you doing what's wrong. And when you have to worry about someone catching you doing what's wrong, then there's a certain uneasiness that you have in your life, and that we allow to happen in our lives. When we have that certain uneasiness that we don't do what is right. And so the book of Proverbs in the first chapter, it's 28th chapter, verse 1, lets us know that, you know, we don't have to experience that uneasiness, but we can stand boldly if we do what is right in the eyes of God. And so that's where we need to get to as men, is we need to get into the Word of God. I was observing what was happening on the news in Charleston, South Carolina, with the Emanuel AME Church down there, where there was a murder of 9 individuals of that church. And it was a thing of they were in the right place doing the right thing, and they weren't fearful of anything. And they stood boldly, and you know, the person that came in and murdered them, they were on the run. They you know, took off and were running and trying to escape, because they weren't doing the things that were right. And so when you do the things that are right in the sight of God, you don't have to run. You know, you can stand on the Word of God, and you know, God will prove you out to be right. And that's not to say that when you stand for what's right that you won't suffer persecution, but if you stand for what's right, you don't have to fear any repercussions from the law or from God, because you're standing and doing what is right. And it's so important as men that we get into the Word of God, learn the Word of God, and then apply the Word of God to our lives, that we would know without a shadow of a doubt what the Word says And then once we know what the word says, to actually apply it to our lives. There's one thing of knowing, but then you have to have proper application. In other words, when the word illuminates us or enlightens us, then we should become the word alive. What do you mean by the word alive? In other words, we should be become the living word. In other words, the word has transformed us, changed us, informed us, illuminated us, and now we become the word. We become the living word. And so when you become the living word, when you have understood the word of God and you have properly applied it, then you can stand boldly on the word of God, and you can be like this example in Proverbs 28, verse 1. It's the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. In other words, you can stand bold on the word of God. You don't have to be like that person who's going 20 miles over the speed limit and constantly looking around. If you're doing the speed limit, you don't have to constantly look around, because you know you're doing the speed limit. You know you're doing what is right according to the law. And that's the way it is with God. We don't have to fear any repercussions from God when we're walking in His word. And you know, God honors our faith, and we don't have to fear any repercussions. And it's important for us to get that message today, is that we have to. That's why they post the speed limit. They post the speed limit at certain intervals on the highway. They don't have it at every interval, but they say being ignorant of the law is not an excuse. So, in other words, it's your responsibility to find out as soon as you enter the area what the speed limit is, and to abide by that law. And it's the same thing with us with God. It's our responsibility to take time out and to learn what the Word of God says. It's not a responsibility of a God that's going to make you know what the Word is, but when you take the responsibility to get into the Word for yourself, learn what the Word of God says, learn how to apply it, that's our responsibility. It's God's responsibility to make the Word available, and it's God's responsibility to honor what His Word says. But, you know, He'll make it available and He'll honor it. But if we don't make ourselves available to learn it and to apply it, then the repercussion, that falls on us. And we have to be so careful to stop pointing the fingers at everyone else. You know, people, you know, you get pulled over by the state trooper going down 95 or Route 40 or, you know, 75 or wherever you're going, Route 5, or Interstate 5, Interstate 40, or Interstate 95, and you know, the speed limit has been posted of 65, and you come along doing 85, you can't tell the officer, you know, that you didn't know what the speed limit was. As a driver on the highway, it was your responsibility, you know, a mile ago to make sure you knew what the speed limit was. It's the same thing with the Word of God. God has given us the Word, His Word. And so when we run into issues and situations in our lives and we don't know what to do, it's not God's fault. God has given us the Word. He's put it in so many ways, in English and whatever language you have. And He's called pastors and He's called teachers to teach the Word. But if we don't, as men, get in a place where we can get into a Bible study or get into a men's group that teaches the Word of God, that's on us. You know, we don't take the time out if we don't make ourselves available. And then if we do take the time out, we make ourselves available and we still don't do it, then that's on us. It's sort of like with the speed limit. The speed limit is posted 65 miles an hour. We understand what it says. We know that's the law. And if we choose to do 85, and the state trooper comes off the ramp or he pulls up behind you or wherever he might be sitting on the side of the road, if he comes and pulls you over and says you're going 20 miles over the speed limit and gives you a citation and money coming out your pocket and points on your license, that's not the state trooper's fault. He's enforcing the law. You know, and you know, we have to accept that consequence. And so with the Word of God, if we're doing what doing something contrary to the word of God, and we're not experiencing the blessings of God, and God says, this is how you experience my blessing, and then we don't experience it, then this is why we need to learn the word of God, and then we need to learn to apply it so we won't have to experience the negative consequences of not knowing the word of God. And again, you know, ignorance of the law, the state true was there is no excuse. We have no excuse when it comes to the word of God. It's prevalent. It's on the internet. It's in written form. We have pastors and teachers that are everywhere that can teach the word of God. But if we don't make ourselves available to get the word of God, then that's on us. And truly, the word of God is a commandment, or is a law, is a set of rules or instructions that are for our good. And so, you know, just going back to the example of the speed limit on the highway, there have been studies. People have studied the speed and the type of road that people drive on. And based upon the condition, based upon the type of road, the number of vehicles, the speed limit is posted, and it's posted for your safety and the safety of others. And so, you know, this is the way the Word of God. The Word of God is instruction for us that has been given to us for our own benefit. And, you know, just like with that the speed limit is for your own good. It's, you know, got signs on the road, so a sharp turn, you know, bumpy road or one lane road, or, you know, do this speed limit, because if you don't, you'll go too fast, and, you know, you can spin out and you can hurt yourself or someone else. And all of these are through, you know, people have studied and said, hey, this is a safe speed for this section of highway. And it's there for a reason. And God has given us his word in like manner and said, this is what, you know, this will help you get safely through this. This will help you safely navigate this, and so forth and so on. But it's up to us to get it and to apply it. And so I think that is the biggest thing with men, is to understand the mechanics, understand how to apply it, and then have the faith to actually implement it in our lives. And, you know, we can go through these Proverbs, and you can see how God is saying, hey, take a listen to what I'm saying here. And the reason why he's saying take a listen is because there's truly nothing new under the sun. In other words, every situation that man faces today, someone, believe me, has faced it in the past, and someone's going to face it in the future. And so the word of God is timeless, and it lets us know what is happening, what's going to happen. And so if we go down to verse 2, it says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding, the knowledge of the state thereof shall be prolonged. In other words, there's a lot of trouble with the state, but if someone with understanding is, it can prevent a whole lot of trouble. And, you know, that's what we need to strive to as individuals, that we understand that country is rebellious, that has many rulers, but a ruler that has discernment and knowledge maintains order. And you know, when we look at that thing, we say, wow, you know, he got too many people that are trying to be the ruler, right? Too many people that are just want a title. You know, the country is in an uproar. But when you have a ruler that has discernment and knowledge, knows who and what to put into place, then that'll maintain order. In other words, sometimes there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians. So there's got to be an order. There, everyone can't be the president. There has to be a vice president. There has to be, you know, executive branches. There has to be judicial branches. There has to be legislative branches. There have to be people that are in charge of those. And those people have to have the discernment and wisdom to be able to put things in order, in order, you know, put people in place and things in order to, for a country to advance. The same thing with men in our relationships with our home. We have to set the tone. We have to be the men that look to the Word of God and say, this is the order that we want to follow. And we have to share that with our wives and with our children. And we have to understand that the children aren't called to be the parents. The wife is not called to be the man. Everyone has their role to play. And then when you begin to start playing that role as the leader of your family, what happens is there's a certain order that will come about. There will be a prolonged period of order. There will be a prolonged period of people getting along, peace in your home. But you have to understand that everyone can't be the dad. Everyone can't be the mom. And everyone's not the child. And so the child can't act like the parent. The parent can't act like the child. But the man can't act like the wife, and the wife can't act like the man. There has to be an order. And if God has created us to be the head and to be the leader, we can't act like a woman, and we can't act like a child. Oh, God. We have to act like who God has called us to be. And you know, when we get into that Word of God and God gives us the wisdom and the guidance and that understanding, that discernment, our families can do well because we are following the commandment of God. And I tell me there's no shortcut, there's no cut cards, there's no way to get around it. We have to understand what our role is. We have to understand who our God is. We have to understand how we should treat our wives, how we should treat our children. We should understand that God has made these resources available to us, and it's up to us to learn about them and then actually apply them. But he said that there will be prolonged order if we learn these things and become knowledgeable and have discernment. But again, if we don't, then we can expect our families and our household to be out of order. And there's too many families that are out of order because the men of God or the man of God has not got into the proper relationship with God and not only began to speak to his family about what God is expecting, but he also has to live it. It's one thing to understand it and to know it and then to tell somebody, but it's another thing to understand it and know it and understand it, but to live it. And so we have to live this thing. And you know, it's never promised that it was going to be easy, but if we live it before our wives, before our children, then there will be order, there will be stability, a prolonged order and prolonged stability in our households. And this is what God is trying to give us in these book of Proverbs. In these book of Proverbs, it's giving us wisdom to have stability. So if you don't have stability right now in your home, you need to turn to the Word of God. And you need to not only turn to it, but you need to start implementing it in your household. That will give you that prolonged order. And you know, wives and children, they're looking for that. They want prolonged order, but they're looking to see if you're just going to be taught or if you're going to be show or if you're going to be a committed man of God. That's what they're looking for. And when they begin to see that, they will begin to understand what the order that you stand for. And the majority of the time they will come under that leadership and they will accept that order and they will appreciate that order. I'm not going to say that everyone will. Everyone is subject to their own mannerisms and how they want to behave. But if you have been trained and raised in this order, you will appreciate it, and you will get in line with the order that is being promoted in that household, and you'll appreciate it. Children, it takes a minute. We have to continue to just be steadfast and unmovable with our children. But if you are consistent with it, you'll be all right. And that's the same thing with our wives. We have to be consistent. We have to be consistent. We have to consistently do what thus saith the Lord, because that's what they're looking for. That's what they want. They want someone that's going to be consistent, not wishy-washy, not now I feel like it today and I don't feel like it tomorrow, but someone that's going to be there and continually do the right thing. And I thank God for his word, because he lays it out in a manner that we can understand it. And God's going to be true to his word. He's going to be true. And when we begin to start seeing God being true to his word, then we'll begin to start falling in line with God and saying, hey, if I can stick in there, if I can hang in there with God, I know he's going to come through. And that's the awesome thing about God, is just when we get to our wit's end, when we're ready to throw in the towel, God will show himself strong and show himself mighty. And we're so grateful to God about it. We got a few more minutes. If there's anyone out there who wants to make a comment on this today, you can call in at 347-324-5569. The number is 347-324-5569. We'll be glad to hear from you, to know that we, as men, we have opportunity. Don't give up on the men. I tell us at our church that, you know, we're in a year long revival. In other words, we're in this thing every day of the year to revive men, to encourage them to be the men that God has called them to be, to take their proper role, and to begin to walk in the things that God has called us to walk in. And you know, don't be ashamed. Stand up in it and do it, and you'll have prolonged success. You'll have prolonged life and order in your family. But if you don't, there's going to be a consequence to that thing. And God's word is true, and it'll be a consequence. But we pray that you'll follow it more times than not. Again, if you want to call in, make a comment, the number is 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. And we're just praying that God will continue to grow up us as men, that we would grow strong, and that we would continue to do the things that are pleasing in the sight of God. All right, that's going to do it for us this morning. We're just going to close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow down and thank you for another opportunity to get together and share your word. Father, we pray that this word would continue to go out and reach those that you have purposed for it to reach, God, and that it would accomplish the things that you have designed it to accomplish. God, we pray for our men mightily. Oh, God, that we would not only know the word and attain wisdom, God, but we would apply it to our lives, God. And, oh, God, when we apply it to our lives, we know that you're faithful and true to your word, God. And God, we just thank you that you would continue, God, to lead us, to guide us in the way that we should go. We pray that we would continue to give your name all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us for the word, first word. We pray as you go to your morning worship that you would give God all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We'll see you next Sunday morning on the first word. God bless.